Welcome to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. And now, with our hosts, Eric Colson, Don Cleaver, and Ava LaRue.
Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Good to have you with us today. Don is absent at his post, but that's all right. We'll cover for him.
Yeah, he's got some interviews or something he's doing.
I don't know what he's doing. That's okay. We just run a tight ship
when he's not here. It through somehow.
We just plow through. We're going to have some fun stuff going on today, guys. We're going to talk a little bit about ice, what's going on with the ice in the upper Midwest. We're going to talk about 6 ways to die ice fishing. That and more when we return.
Avid outdoorsmen know that heading to the field without all the advantages, not a good idea. Most importantly, a stable shooting platform. Having the right platform can be critical to success. Field Optics Research is the industry leader, offering the most advanced, lightest, and stable tripods on the market. It's stability you need when that once-in-a-lifetime shot is in your crosshairs. Field Optics, the ultimate tripod for hunting, shooting, long-range precision shooting, spotting scopes, and outdoor photography.
Links to Field Research Optics available on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Good to see you, Ava.
It's good to be here. At least I'm here every week. I mean, just really the anchor
and
of the show.
I am... Yeah, I'm generally in some way, shape, or form, I'm here. Whether it's on the road.
We do need you, too.
I kind of have to be here.
But I'm the anchor of the studio.
Oh, yes, you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the placeholder.
Yep.
You're welcome
that I'm so reliable.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And again, thank
you. I would like more thank yous in the new year.
Well, you have control of the on-off buttons, I suppose.
I do. I do. And how are you supposed to know what I want if I don't tell you? So,
It's all about you.
I'm not expecting you to read minds, but
Wait a minute.
Some thankfulness in the new year.
How many
year
guys
would
in
be?
This audience right now are going, what? Every
hey,
woman
after,
in my life I know needs to...
after 5 years of marriage, I know I need to speak my mind.
Yeah.
I can't expect others to know
what's
going on up in the dome.
I don't have those needing to read minds programs. It's pretty good. So that's a good thing. But speaking of reading minds and reading ice, some conditions across the upper Midwest I was looking into. And, you know, everybody thinks, oh, the cold weather's going to be great. Let's go ice fishing up north. Let's go for it. This will be great. And I started looking, and a significant amount of reporting that came across that said ice was doing great. And I thought, okay, the next statement is,
but
the wind we had, I thought, okay, that's it. No, they got heavy, wet snow. And when that happens, it totally destroys the ice, just like it's done in past years. So it's still in very questionable scenario right now because of that extra snow. It insulates the ice, prevents it from building, and pushes it down so it does not build a really good surface or a good thickness to proceed on. A lot of the CO reports across the northern Minnesota, and I'm talking Hibbing, Lake of the Woods is getting there, but Eveleth, you know, all the way across that middle section, and it'll carry true up to North Dakota and as well across to Michigan and northern Wisconsin. But yeah, that snow just did not help anybody, anything, as it always has a tendency to be a little bit of a problem. So please check it before you go. Don't chance it.
I saw some video recently of a car driving on ice already. And they were filming it as they're going because they know they're going to go through.
Where?
I don't know. But people are already trying to drive.
So.
Which is not a good idea.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You can't do
that. Oh, and yes, the vehicle did go through.
Oh, the vehicle filming. They were filming did?
Yeah.
Well, there was one of those welcome to TikTok type thing.
Can't fix stupid.
No.
It's what it is.
Well, and it's dumb because people just do that to try and get hits and likes. And honestly.
Not worth it, man.
Not good. I saw another video. It was the craziest thing ever. They showed a low angle of guys on very fresh ice. And there were hockey sticks and they were skating on the ice. The angles that they were skating, it made it look like it was water.
Oh, yeah.
And they showed the ice as they were skating. It was cracking. You want to, I mean.
Why?
Sorry.
Why?
I.
You know, I just. I wish Don Cleaver was here because he's the biggest like head shaker at ice situations.
Well, you know, as the old saying goes, you don't hate the fish that bad. But in this case, people go for the sensationalist, you know, things. They want to get the hits. That's what it is, unfortunately, you know. Unfortunately as well, I know the season is hunting season is coming to a close in many states for the deer hunting.
Yeah, muzzle loaders this weekend.
Yeah, it's coming
ends.
Up. Yeah. Couple things. One is I'll talk about they showed some reduced hunting result numbers from deer in the rifle areas, and one of the a very unique way to look at what was going on in Wisconsin. So take a look at that. But hunters suffer fatal heart attacks while dragging heavy deer. The Michigan State Department said cardiologists detailed risks and safety tips for hunting safety. At least 3 deer hunters in Michigan have died of heart attacks this hunting season, according to local reports. They were located in Aranac and Tuscola counties. They were ages 57, 65, and 83. 2 of the men were said to be hauling away a heavy deer when they experienced cardiac arrest. The firearm season began in November, runs through, obviously, the end of November, according to the State Department of Natural Resources. Obviously, it's a dangerous activity, and it's not a good thing. If you're not in shape to do that, and that's where you need to call a phone a friend, as the saying goes, definitely something you need to keep track of. So be aware, do that. Obviously, maintain good fitness levels. Be prepared for the conditions. Stay connected with the people in your hunting party. Keep up with the medications. And, of course, stay with someone else that can help you drag it rather than you doing it alone. So.
You know, my brother-in-law was helping somebody carry their deer out of the woods. And they actually tied its legs around a stick. And they both carried it on their shoulders and hauled them out that way.
You could do that. I'd like to... My personal thing is pull them the right direction if you got something on the ground, and it goes pretty good. But
well, they were in bluff country, so.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, no.
Not good. All right, folks. We're going to be right back after a break, and lots more to come. Hang tight. Welcome back, everybody. Always like to have you check us out on the web. And where are they going to go and finding us, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And on Facebook, like us, please. We are there. And I'm hoping to do an intro, go outside and freeze myself out doing an intro for this week's show.
Sweet.
So, for Facebook, yeah.
Dig it.
You know, when you look at hunters and the label that hunters get in society.
What you talking about, Willis?
Huh?
What you talking about, Willis?
Talking about Willis. Well, if you look at the branding, and people get branded. If you're a hunter, there's mental images that come to mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different, I guess, descriptions.
Stereotypes, are you saying?
Yeah, well, you'll understand when I start to get into this. But so a hunter is described as a person who hunts game, a dog used or trained for hunting, a horse used or adopted for use in hunting with hounds, one that searches for something, that would be a hunter as well, a pocket watch with a single hinged protective cover, that's called a hunter. But none of the definitions associate hunting or hunters with wildlife conservation. That's the crazy part about it, because one of the prime things that comes out of it when you look at your hunting license, right, is it goes to conservation. It goes to...
That's the nice thing about it.
It goes to habitat. It goes to a lot of different management.
Management.
All those key things. And this article that I had read, it said explanations for the implied disconnect. The simplest and the best unflattering way the hunters are presented is in the media. For example, Elmer Fudd.
He's a good one.
The two goofball hunters in Men in Black 1. Walter Palmer, that was the Cecil the Lion Killer. Remember that way back when?
No.
It was a guy that paid money to go hunt lion, and the lion was an old lion. It was
okay.
Apparently everybody just came out as an outrage and an uproar, I should say. The professional hunter slash villain in the Robin Williams film Jumanji, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
With the big caliber rifle always trying to shoot him. Poaching incidents that clutter the news feeds, and law enforcement needs public help in identifying, or Iowa farmer nabs antler thieves. So a lot of the connotations that come out are not surprising why the general public. The approval of hunting is higher than the approval of hunters. Make sense?
Say it again.
The approval of hunting, the act of hunting, is always a higher approval rating amongst the public than the approval for hunters.
Okay, I could see that.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
Now, granted, it's a semantic, but 90% of Colorado, for example, the registered voters say hunting should be legal. Simultaneously, 45% of the same voters voted in favor of a proposal to ban lion, lynx, and bobcat trophy hunting. This last November.
Okay.
And it really comes down to a branding problem. And this is when I started to get into this, I thought, wow, this is kind of crazy. Because always the connotation can be the optic, right? If it's an optic, it's what do people see? What's their vision of what is involved in hunting? Now, between the three of us, we practice ethics in hunting. You want a clean kill. You're not going to take a shot that's abnormal. You're not going to shoot before hours or after hours. All of those things are followed pretty much to the letter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different elements that come into play. And so the context in two different states, they established wildlife councils, council in Michigan and council in Colorado. Both of them are separate from the state's wildlife agency, and they're supported by a small surcharge, $1.50, on hunting licenses. Now, this is the cool part. When Michigan initiated the Wildlife Council in 2012, 39% didn't think hunters were responsible people. 42% didn't think or know whether hunters followed regulations. 61% didn't think or know whether management was important for healthy wildlife populations, and 44% didn't know or believe whether illegal regulated hunting led to species extinctions. Okay, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, today, as of now, 84% of Michiganers support hunting, and 89% believe that hunting is important to the state's culture. That is what you get when you have a guided or directed messaging. And I think that's something that's extremely important, because getting funding and all those key pieces are very important in habitat development. And of course, it says, suppose the Wildlife Council marketing efforts went beyond hunting, communicating similarities between hunters' values and those of non-hunting public. The survey shows 82% of Americans, hunters and non-hunters alike, support animal welfare but oppose animal welfare, but oppose animal rights. This may be why animal rights organizations misleadingly label their agencies as animal welfare while promoting and funding animal rights and anti-hunting agendas. So this holds true in Colorado, for example. You know, the mountain lions that are trying to ban mountain lion and bobcat hunting. Robert Redford, we know how well actors work in convincing people of things,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about not so much? Robert Redford states, mountain lions and bobcats are vital to the ecosystem and they should not be reduced to trophies or pelts. Banning trophy hunting and fur trapping is not just protecting these magnificent creatures. It's about safeguarding the integrity of our natural world for future generations. Now, that's Robert Redford saying that, according to Samantha Miller. She's also a campaign manager for Cats Aren't Trophies, or CAT. Proposition 127, that's in Colorado. They're trying to get come across and ban that hunting of those cats. They say it's not an anti-hunting issue. It's a very Coloradan issue. If you know animal cruelty when you see it, it's an opportunity to fix it. Well, what ended up happening was that was voted down, that Proposition 127. And the implications that hunters, from those statements that are being made, is that hunters don't care about healthy, sustainable populations, mountain lions, despite the fact that regulated hunting grew the, listen to this one, regulated hunting grew the mountain lion population in Colorado from 125 in 1965 to 38 to 4,400 today. That's just in Colorado. And again, that's regulated hunting. Second point that they're not taking into consideration, or they don't think hunters do, is they don't care about conserving wildlife for future generations, particularly untrue and contrary to the North American model of wildlife conservation, which all of us support. And hunters engage in animal cruelty. This is despite the fact that all regulated hunting is premised on the fair chase concept of a painless quick kill, like I just had mentioned earlier. You always go for the kill that's going to be the opportune. You're not shooting just wildly into the woods just to shoot. So that's a key piece to it. So really, when it comes down to it, and you look at the branding and what hunting has done, Michigan and Colorado, I'll be honest with you, I think they have taken it to a whole different level. So I think it's something we need to look at for other states and maybe take them as a model for what could be, I don't know, maybe an established program that can be implemented across all states and change some of that branding issues. You've seen it before. It's like, oh, he's wearing plaid and he's wearing an orange hunter's hat.
Mm-hmm.
Must be a hick or a... And it turns out the guy's a multimillion-dollar...
Just a rich...
He's a
rich
company
guy.
Owner or...
Yeah.
He's, you know... I mean, same
taking
thing...
Taking all these
it's
trips
like
and...
Writing yeah. Harley, guys.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell a book by its cover, number one. But number two, I think hunters have taken a bad rap in a lot of the things that go on and not really understanding what they contribute to the actual wildlife and the world about wildlife. So... I wanted to get to this story that I had. We talk about.
Are we talking about the ways to die?
Yeah. You know, awesome. We talk about.
Because we
ice
need
safety.
To know.
I wanted to go at it a different
six
way.
Six different ways to die.
I wanted to go a different way this
on
year.
On the ice.
You know what I mean? And it's important to go at a different way. And the different way, guess what? Let's take it in a big time different way. Six ways to die while ice fishing.
Isn't there like a TV show about like all these different ways to die? 100
yeah,
ways to
there
die?
Is, but this is a different one.
All right.
So there's just six different things that you need to do if you want to die while you're ice fishing. Use a vehicle. Number one.
Talked about that already.
32 of the 65 deaths in 2019 were connected to riding snowmobiles, six to ATVs and UTVs, And three, to cars and trucks. Vehicles exert more pressure in frozen water than walking on foot. They're great for accessing distant locations when you put a lot of people in danger to get there. If you break through in a vehicle, it's likely you're going to do so at speed. You ever gone across ice and then hit water with a snowmobile?
Yeah. No.
It's crazy. Because at that point, you don't back off. Just keep going.
I haven't ridden a snowmobile since I was like 7.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Not good. So, again, take a vehicle. That's the first way. Second way, don't check the ice reports. Ice fishermen might be a group of anglers most willing and enthusiastic to share information online. Most major hard water fisheries have at least one reliable source of up-to-date reports on ice thickness. And realistically, you're going to be safer if you do. Keep your eye on those sites, look for them, and go back to those sites if you're thinking about going. Knowing those things ahead of time before you make a trip up north is not going to force you into a situation you and I've talked about at length with Don. You know, people say, oh, we're going up ice fishing. You get up there, the conditions are not bad. Well, we already got here. We might as well go anyway. No. And that's what got a lot of people stranded last year out on Red Lake and a lot of other lakes. Knowing ahead of time will allow you to plan accordingly. Don't haul a truck towed ice hut if there's only 9 inches of ice. Don't check. Don't push it. Not good. If there's not a report posted online, simply call up the relevant tackle shop and they will readily answer questions. And they're the ones that don't want people to get stranded as well. They want business, but they will return business.
Right.
Not one-way business. Ignoring shorelines is another one. If you ever had a beer can and a bottle of water explode in your freezer, you'll understand how liquids expand as they freeze.
Funny.
Yeah. Lakes are no different. Ice caps widen as they grow, and they push up on lake shores, cracking and shoving and subsiding and creating all sorts of unpredictable conditions. Sometimes ice in a bay will break free and float out into open water, leaving anglers stranded. That never happens. Start every hard water adventure with a healthy dose of caution as you step onto the lake. Another way to die is you assume consistent thickness of ice. Say you've taken measurements at a regular intervals as you're walking your way out to your fishing spot. Unless you intimately know the body of water, it would be fair to assume that the thickness will continue across the whole surface. And that's true, especially if you get schooling fish under the ice. I've had it happen on Forest Lake, and know specifically a friend of mine was driving on Forest Lake, and well, soon he was in Forest Lake.
No.
Yep. And it wasn't good. Turns out they did find that the ice had eroded, and it was due to some shallower water. It wasn't in deep waters, like 4 feet of water, but there's fish that had schooled up and caused a bit of a problem under the ice. Big lakes freeze up, highly inconsistent progression. You often see bays in the head of the lakes freeze first, spreading outward from there. Some large lakes, the areas around outflow never freezes, so watch for in and outflow areas. And in a river, please, if you're going out, you need to understand the treacherous spots, because it's a consistent part of what happens in any river area. People will go in consistently in the same spot, i.e. in Mississippi River, down below Point No Point, Methodist Point. There's a wing dam right there. The water flows and people go in all the time. And not good. Oh, yeah. The other thing, if you want to die, 6 ways to die. Don't bring safety gear.
Yeah.
It's important if you want to die to not bring any safety gear with you. Don't bring ice picks. Don't bring any safety spikes at all with you. Don't need to do that. You can do it with 6-inch nails. Tie a string, put it through your jacket so they are there at all times. It's not a problem. Go to the hardware store if you forgot, maybe wherever you're near. You don't have to have anything fancy. Tie the string on it. Get it done, put it on there, be safe, but not a good thing. The other thing is to also have a safety throw bag you can throw to somebody that's got rope in it, because you can throw the bag a long way.
Right.
And then just get somebody that rope and have that handy and just in case somebody else does follow the 6 ways to die. you will help prevent that from happening. And last but not least, get drunk.
If you, yes.
One of the last six ways
Thank
to die
you.
Is
I'm so happy that made
get
the list.
Drunk. Many anglers and ice fishing fishermen and men wouldn't be ice fishing without a shot of schnapps or a light beer handy. Moderate sipping is one thing, but of course, all out inebriation can cost you. It can get you also can get you turned around on the ice, which is scary. Lake Erie is one of those places you can get in a whiteout condition, think you're driving back, you're following your GPS, and guess what?
Dude, it doesn't matter how big the lake is.
No, you're
if
in the drink.
If it's whiteout, I mean.
Whiteout, you don't know where you're at. If
no.
you're following your GPS, the other thing is, too, if you're following your GPS, and next thing you know, it's like, oh, guess what? They did push away from shore, and I just drove into the lake. So you've got to have your head on a swivel. You've got to have your wits about you.
Yeah, bring a compass.
Get
That's
off the
ice.
That's
always a good idea,
if
too.
If you're staying nearby, have a cocktail when you're done. Success or not success, it's all good. One way or t'other. So,
yeah, don't follow those six ways to die.
Well,
do
no.
the opposite.
Yeah, no, they say
six ways to live.
Exactly.
Do the opposite. Yeah.
If you don't follow them, you'll eliminate those six ways. We like to, you know, it's a process of elimination, right?
Right.
And you can't fix stupid.
Nope, you can't.
Nope.
There
well,
it is.
Well, speaking of not being stupid, you guys were not stupid for listening to our show. We certainly appreciate that every week, each and every week, we're here for Don, who's not here, Ava. And myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors. Thanks much for joining us. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.